It's about damn time Jared Damn back in the building. And yo, let me start off first with apologizing. Could not release a top 10 last week. I was on the road. I had to go, look, I love y'all, but I had to prioritize and be on that road to see my baby on senior night. You know what I mean? So that was 1,600 miles for you on the road. So couldn't get to it last week, but we here this week. And this week, two of my friends actually chose this episode. It's the weight of being everyone else's person, which, this is hitting home for me right about now. Right now, I am tired. I'm burned out. I'm a little stressed. I got this little stress ball happening right here in my side that happens when I'm stressed. Not feeling my best. And it's probably because I'm feeling like the weight of being everyone else's person. So this episode is right on time. So again, two people, Lara and Sally, both picked this episode. So Lara's a little more shy. So she wrote down some stuff. I'll paraphrase some of the stuff that she talked about in this episode that will, why she liked this episode. And basically on the lines of saying, you know, they say to make sure you take care of yourself, to always put yourself first. But if it doesn't interfere with their time or friendship, what you can do for them, how it can likely be in any way an interference in their plans. And that's why this episode resonated with her, because she feels this. And shout out to Lara. She does feel this. She is that type of friend for many others. Sally, a little braver. She gave me some knowledge on why she felt like this was a great episode. So I'm going to leave it there for her to break that down as well in her words. Then we'll slide right into the episode. Again, fan pick top 10 episodes. I love each and every one of y'all. Thank y'all for supporting me on this journey. And while we are replaying these episodes, don't get it twisted. I'm not just sitting here just laid up, not doing anything. We working for 2026 already. So we in the studio, we recording stuff, we getting stuff organized for y'all. We gonna hit you and keep hitting you with this goodness so we can do like another top 10 and another top 10 and another. Sorry, I'm a little amped up. All right, here's Sally to tell you why this episode is so great for her. After that, we'll get into the episode. Once again, thank y'all so much for just supporting me. Until next time, I'll see you next week.
Hey, Jared, it's Selene. Just wanted to send a big happy anniversary to It's About Damn Time. I've loved watching you evolve, push into deeper territory, and hold space for growth, mentally, emotionally, physically. My favorite episode, for sure, is The Weight of Being Everyone's Person, Being Strong Isn't Enough for Your Mental Health, where you got vulnerable about the toll of being the strong one, being everyone's go-to, and how that actually impacts mental health. That kind of transparency matters. Of course, I got a shameless plug the episode I was on, Can a Mom Get High, where we got real about motherhood, wellness, and breaking stigmas. That convo still gets feedback, and I'm really proud of what we offer. Keep doing the damn thing, Jared. Your voice is needed. Your platform is powerful. And I can't wait to see it where you take this podcast in the years to come. Much love, and here's to many more episodes of growth, truth, and 1% better every damn day.
I don't need you to make me feel bad for making myself a priority. Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. We focus on the real journey to being 1% better every damn day. I'm tired. I know that it's been about 3 weeks since you've heard my voice. I know that I have not been present on social media. I know that I haven't been very responsive to calls and text messages. That don't sound like you were worried. And really right now it's a lot. And I hate that it's a lot during Mental Health Awareness Month, but you can't really just schedule it. You know what I mean? Shout out to everybody that are advocates. Shout out to the people that are going through it. Shout out to Diva with Depression, because I know you're going through one of your spells as well, and you have the courage to put it out there. So I'm not going to talk long, mostly because when I'm in a mood like this, here's the thing. When you're in a mood like this, you don't want to bring anybody else down. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, like, not talking to people in isolation is bad. And I get that. And I talk about that all the time. But some of you are pissed off, angry, and upset with me. And I got to tell you, I don't really care. And it's not because I'm a dick. It's really because I don't have it in me to care. Not on some selfish shit, on some I'm trying to stay alive. That's the only energy I got right now. Just staying alive. So I'll talk to you a little bit about it. Oh, yeah. It's about damn time, Jared Damn in the building. And if you are new here, I am terribly sorry this is your first experience. But going through something traumatic and it's going through a bout of severe depression is the only way I can do is just talk about it how I'm feeling. So no prompts, no outlines, none of that shit. So, all right, let's talk about what got me here. Talk about what I've been doing. So there I go trying to outline again. Here's the thing. It's been 7 months, no job. And it's not even just the job thing. It's the not knowing where your income's coming from thing. It's the I'm trying to push forward and be positive thing. It's I don't have all the answers on how I'm going to move forward with living, eating, and podcasting, and being a parent, and all the things that make up being a human. Is my shit any more important than anybody else's? No. But I think a little bit after my birthday. I think the point was I had a job, second interview lined up, and with a nice corporate company. I fucking screwed up. I thought it was on a Tuesday, and so I set it on my calendar for a Tuesday. The interview was on Monday, and I'm just sitting here, not doing shit. It's like, you know, I'm gonna rest up because I had spent a whole lot of time in Louisiana and Texas, making sure everybody's good, making sure, you know, Brooklyn's good for her birthday. I was like resting up, and I blew it. And I think just that, along with knowing that you had to kind of start over in a job search where you were pretty advanced, and it's gonna be at least another month before you find something, and then the bills piled up and. I think that was it. I think that was just a snapping point. And what's the reason for my retreat is because as I am trying to navigate life, I am being asked and requested, demanded, and sometimes volunteered, unbeknownst to that person, to help people with what they're going on. And, you know, boundaries are for me. So I can set those boundaries and do that. And, you know, I have a lot of people that I've known for over 20 years that want to say that in my ear and tell me that's what I should do. But I don't really think some people realize what it is to be someone's person. Like, they're a person where if they are being rocked by life, you're the first phone call. You're sometimes the only phone call. You're that text message. You give that speech three times a week. You give the hug. You embody the support for that person that they may or may not lean on. Like some people maybe lean on a nice glass of wine every night because it was a rough day, or, you know, smoking a blunt or anything else like that. You become that person. That's what it's like to be someone's person. Now multiply that by 10. And again, boundaries are for me. And I understand that. But when you go into your daily life and people know that you're not working, but you're the person, and you're on the phone with a person for an hour or two, and then they feel better and they got meetings and things that they need to do and go from and projects that they have to work on. So they leave. And you go, okay, let me figure out how I'm gonna deal with my problems. Then another person calls, and they want a couple of hours with you. And then another person, and before you have realized it, you have talked to four people today, and it's been the majority of the time you were awake on the phone or recovering from you being on the phone. And if you know me as a person, and I don't even think it's just a media thing. I think it's more so of a person individually. You only have so much of a gas tank. And that gas tank is on low, or that cell phone battery is down to one, you must either fill the tank up or recharge it. But a lot of motherfuckers want me to plug the charger up and still talk on FaceTime. Again, boundaries are for me. I could do a better job at creating those boundaries. So a voice that I'm tired. And I don't want to be that guy that goes woe with me about the job situation and uncertainty over and over. I internalize a lot of stuff. But it got to the point that my problems with missing that particular job opportunity, it broke the dam. That's a double entendre. It broke the dam, but it broke the literal dam that kept my emotions in check. An outpour of emotions flooded in. And I was no longer able to be anybody's person. I retreated. And I'm still retreating. I could not take your phone calls. I could not answer any texts. I could not do anything but lay in bed and distract my mind. So, call me a bastard. Be upset. Be mad, make social media posts, send me threatening texts and voice notes, phone calls, yell and curse me out, send DMs to people in my life because you're concerned, which
It's a side note.
I've had maybe two or three times in my life where somebody who had probably the best intentions reached out to people who I consider outside the scope of checking on me, this might be just a side note or a rant, I don't care. Outside the scope for me that you just don't reach out to. I've had to have maybe three or four times in my life. Those two people, Pamama and Brooklyn, if you contact them in any way worrying them, it's usually an automatic cuss out. Because my mama worry about everything. And I will not have my child, who is 17 and has her own things that she do, worry about her 45-year-old father. Because he should be just living her life. So that's normally a cuss out, but I understand the intention involved when you reach out to other people. However, when you reach out to other people that are in my life, and it causes this whole effect where the whole network of that family is now worried about me and concerned about me, it gets to my mama, who, when I talk to on Mother's Day for 1 minute and 28 seconds, just told me to hold on. And that scares her. And when she's upset, it infuriates me. It gets to my daughter, who, like her father, will pretend to be the most nonchalant motherfucker around. But I could always tell when she shook. And when she shook, that infuriates me. And when it gets to my younger sister, which, if anybody knows or anybody cares, when my dad died 2.5 years ago, it was because of one of his friends reaching out to my sister to say that she hadn't heard from my dad in a while. My sister called the police to do a welfare check, and the sheriff found my father dead at home. She was unable to deal with anything that proceeded in getting my father taken care of because she was distraught. And I had to do it. So you may have the best of intentions on just making sure that I'm good, and I appreciate that, and I'm not upset. But stuff like that trickles down that she is triggered. And I had to deal with her cussing me out, and that was fine. That was fair. That's on me. Because my fellow pro star Garen says that I need to have these boundaries, but I should do a better job at setting them up and alert people. And while that may be true, sometimes you're in a psychological state where all you got is just the very thought of contacting somebody made me weep. Not cry, not shed tears, not have a little sigh. I wept. To the point where my sister called me a few times. She was looking for me, and all I could do was just text her, "I love you." And she asked her what's wrong with me. I just said, "I'm tired." So I coasted here for a few weeks, barely eating, drinking a hell of a lot of water, so my skin is great. I am very well hydrated. Watching The Blacklist, I rewatched it because I never really finished it. And I'm gonna tell you something: don't finish it. Don't start. The first 6 seasons fine, but oh my God, it just fall off. I was so dissatisfied. So if you're already depressed and you're binge watching, don't watch them like this because that's just going to make you more depressed. I am not going to lie. There was some point in time where just a couple of weeks, I was like, that's it. I was done. I just literally could not find the items of which I needed to end things. Which is, I guess, is a good thing. Properly put that up and being prepared with all. So I hit a low point. Not out of it. I may answer every one out of every six calls that you make. I'm hopeful to have a podcast next week. Don't know. I'm out of the bed. I've taken walks. I've been outside. Lost some weight, so that's a good thing. I have more of a plan question mark in place to help things out. And I think it's hard when you're in that deep, that dark space, because you know all you want to do is just lay there in the dark. And yeah, I've had people just come bang on the door, come in, open my eyes up. Matter of fact, this light right here is bright as fuck. It's so much light. Little step by step, I am getting better. It's just this process is not linear. And one of the biggest scares and one of the biggest things for me is for me to start calling people back and texting back and posting on the internet, and all of a sudden people say, "Oh, you're back. By the way, here's what you missed, Jared. When you wasn't talking to me, I don't need you to fucking make me feel bad for making myself a priority." Everybody in the goddamn world tells me that I need to make myself a priority. They tell me that I need to do stuff for me. They tell me that I need to put myself first. They tell me that I need to be selfish. In the times when I am fucking selfish, I'm chastised for it. I'm made to feel bad about it. For putting my phone in Do Not Disturb and getting a 5 for $5 with Wendy's with a Frosty with the caramel swirl. By the way, those things are bomb, by the way. Not good for your blood sugar if you're diabetic. I feel like I try to make podcast episodes like lessons, and then I'll be like, "God, give out this little lesson. Oh, well, you know, prioritize yourself, and this is what you need to do and make yourself a priority." And I can tell you that, but it ain't no easy shit to do. Like, I just don't want to be sanctimonious on a soapbox sitting there telling you what you need to do, because this is what I've done. Because sometimes I do it, and then sometimes I fucking don't. But when I do it, sometimes you're gonna be the fucking bastard. You're going to be the piece of shit that people sit there and talk about behind your back or online. My advice to you. So I saw a TikTok. I think this was Oprah. I want to say this was Oprah. That your job on earth. No. Viola Davis. Your job on earth. With what Viola Davis said, your job on earth is to be as selfish as possible. To take care of yourself. Not to sit there and try to make someone hurt or feel bad, but to be as selfish as possible, to take care of yourself, to prioritize yourself. So for now, I can only give you what I can give you. And I can't give you a whole lot. Because I'm not going to lie, it took me a half a day and 3 glasses of wine for me to get the courage to sit there and hit record with these lights on right now to give you this on what I'm giving. And giving somebody a one-on-one for an hour on the phone, 30 minutes on the phone, or even for fucking 15 minutes is exhausting. For Brooklyn, that's my baby. I got it. But there may be times where I'll be having a conversation with you. I might have to stop in midstream because I'm getting ready to break down. Well, Jared, what's the last time that shit happened? Today. I want to leave. I generally want like to leave with something positive and telling you if you're somebody that's going through this, you can get through it and you can get past it. And therapy and breath work and go outside and vitamin D and look, magnesium. Like, I know y'all think that I got stock in magnesium. Maybe I should. But it's hard. It's hard to sit there and run that warm bath of Epsom salt. Maybe you do that for a week and that's going to help you feel better. It's hard to run that when you laying in bed and you just, it feels like the weight of the world is on you. So I don't have anything positive to say. I don't have anything positive to uplift you with. But what I can say is this. You are certainly not alone. The world feels unforgiving. And you isolate because you feel like no one cares. And no one can relate. You are not alone. Don't feel like you are alone. And I think that's all I got for you. If that makes you feel better, where you can keep fighting another day, do so. For today, for me, that's helped me get through another day. That's all I got for you. Thank you for rocking with me. Thank you for all those that care. Check on your strong friends. But also give them space to process what they're going through. I love you all. Hopefully I'll talk to you next week. Thank you for joining me this week on It's About Damn Time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.